Well, good morning and welcome to our meeting. It's 9 a.m. on August 4th, 2026, and time to begin a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Julieta Altamano Crosby, our Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Colin Wilbrock, our Chief Operating and Legal Officer, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices at this time. So I am going to start out with a flag salute. If you would like to join me, you may. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copies of the agenda are located on the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda, Commissioner?
I have none.
Okay, thank you. Comments from the public is item two on the agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments that will be limited to 3 minutes. Person shall be recognized to speak from sign-up cards located at the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone. I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. When you're called upon and on a phone, you need to dial *6 to unmute. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners and not the audience. If you have any documents or the materials to enter into the record, please hand them to the deputy clerk who will distribute them to us. We appreciate your cooperation with the procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first up, item one, recognition declaration, 1A Employee of the Month for August, Monty Vitale. We have Karen here, who will introduce Monty.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Karen Lavra, I'm the Water Utility Superintendent. And it is my great pleasure today to share some information about our Employee of the Month, Monty. Monty's been with the district for 18 years. About half of that time he has spent with Water Utility as a Water Distribution Specialist. And I have to tell you, Monty is a dream employee. He is very kind, caring, loyal, hardworking, helpful. He's also incredibly dedicated to his team, to the district, and especially to the customers. Today I'm going to focus on that customer aspect of Monty. So Monty exemplifies the kind of public service our customers hope for when they contact the district. Whether responding to water leaks, pressure concerns, or complex service issues, Monty takes the time to listen. He explains technical information in plain language that the customer can understand. He helps them troubleshoot and he guides them toward a solution. His calm, professional approach helps customers feel supported during what is often a very stressful situation to them. But what makes Monty truly exceptional is that he doesn't stop with that initial interaction with the customer. He follows up with the customers often many times to make sure issues are fully resolved. He answers additional questions, and he continues providing assistance until customers are confident in the outcome and they have a solution that resolves their problem. In one instance, Monty even worked directly with a vendor that had damaged a customer's service line and made sure they were held accountable for making that repair and restoring that customer to original service. But the impact of Monty's work is best expressed by the customers themselves. Over the past 3 years, the district has received more than a dozen formal thank you notes, letters, emails from customers. And even since I submitted this at the end of last year, Monty's received a few more, so they just keep stacking on. But here's what the customers have to say. Incredibly helpful. Someone who went above and beyond. A fantastic employee. Very professional and helpful. He's a great one. A provider of exemplary customer service. Customers have also shared that Monty saved them money. He helped them understand complex water system issues. And again, he followed up long after others would have considered the job complete and moved on to the next thing. Several customers said they were blown away by his support and described Monty as a cut above when it comes to customer service. But these comments reflect more than appreciation for a single interaction. They demonstrate a pattern of excellence, integrity, strong communication, and genuine commitment to serving our community. Monty consistently represents the district with professionalism and care, and his service strengthens the trust our customers place in us every day. So commissioners, the true measure of public service is the experience that our customers have when they need us most. Monty's customers consistently tell us he is professional, caring, and willing to go above and beyond. Their words, not ours, are best. Monty is a cut above. Through every interaction, he strengthens the trust our customers place in the district and exemplifies the very best of who we are. And for that, it is my honor to present to you Monty Vitale as Employee of the Month.
There, Guy. Pretty good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Well, I'll start out. Monty, this is employees that work directly with customers are so critical to the success of the entire organization. Most employees don't get that opportunity. And you get that opportunity and you excel at it. And that's amazing to have. So they take the time to write a note to send in to appreciate the work you've done for them. So.
Oh, thank you.
And reading your thing, it sounds like you're just a fabulous team member too.
Well, if it wasn't for the front office getting those phone calls to me, it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
But they get it to me, and I've had so many responses when I call the customer back. The office just got off the phone with them. I call them right back immediately, and the person would say, now that's customer service.
Yeah.
And that's what I really look for.
Right.
My job.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I'm still waiting for 2 years for my cable company to get back. An item I turned in. So. But no, it really makes all the difference. And it makes, like I said, and it changes the perspective for that person of the entire organization, the electric department, everything, to have those really positive interactions.
It's very rewarding.
So thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Me?
Yes, you.
You go ahead, because I'm, you know me, I yak.
Oh, you are going to be so long.
Okay. No, thank you for all that you do. As Commissioner Sid mentioned, it is too hard in these times when you made the phone calls to receive that response, and people sometimes lose hope in that. So I really appreciate it, and you are very kind, and I'm very grateful and proud that we have this such a people here and beauty, and working with customers is a priority. Thank you, and
thank you.
I read also that you like photographer. You are take pictures of things like that, right?
Sure.
What kind of pictures you like?
I did a lot of commercial stuff, well as weddings and high school senior pictures.
Oh.
I don't do so much of that anymore. I do still shoot for Edmonds Police Department once or twice a year. I always tell myself I'm not going to go down there next year. And yet they call me and I say, oh, I'll be there.
You don't know how to say no to
them. Yeah. No, I can't say no. So it's a fun
Such
job.
Such a nice hobby and job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank
great
you.
Hobby.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Okay. I got to say, your write-up said, and you didn't mention it, but he provides service to the big kahuna over there.
Yep. And it is all real. I mean, Monty just goes above and beyond, and it's amazing the level of sincerity that he brings to trying to solve the problem or identify the issue. I felt after 15 minutes chatting with Monty, and all being concerned about you know, the water leak, that Monty was my best friend and everything was cool. Yeah, he's incredible.
So Monty knows how to work with difficult customers.
That's not a rec. Let's do a survey.
You know, everybody that I've worked with, whether all customers,
yeah.
they really, I try to make them my friend.
Yeah.
And it becomes close-knit people. Yeah.
And given I got quite a history here, the fact that we give that kind of turnaround on customer inquiries spreads throughout the organization. Years ago, it would take a year for us to get back to somebody, literally. And, you know, I get a lot of those customer, we get customer inquiries. And man, I tell you, within a 24-hour period, the customer's been contacted and there has been a deal reached, or one way or the other, and the customer ends up not angry. Sometimes they're real satisfied, sometimes it's like this. But this is another example of what this company has recognized and nurtures, is that our employees are the most important asset that we have. And once we recognize that, and provided the opportunities internally for employees in terms of education or training and in terms of advancement. You came to the utility in one department and have moved on to two more, or one?
One.
One, you went to the water utility. Anyway, congratulations.
And this is an incredible group.
Yeah, yeah.
One big family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as Monty said, it begins with customer service, right? When you call the PUD, you get a human. You don't go through a queue and have a challenge just
a turnaround time.
And you get people that
I'm amazed
know how to handle a myriad of kinds of calls and challenges.
Emergency locates as well.
Yeah,
somebody has a leak, they call an emergency locate, and I'll call as soon as I see that locate come in, and they'll answer the phone and they'll say, I didn't even get off the phone with 811. So
wow.
It's that fast. Yeah.
Good.
So
it's part of their reputation we've got in the county and across the country.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and because of all that, you get a trophy. I don't know if you have a trophy case.
Right on.
But you can Thank start you. One if you don't have one.
Thank you. Go. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And also talking about pictures.
Oh, that one, huh?
This picture.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's very nice.
Well, I guess it's all by a latte for don't fall over with the amount, but anyway.
Oh yeah. Very nice. Thank you guys so much.
Well, can we put these over here?
Yeah,
let's take a picture of you with her.
Can he introduce his family? Do you have family members?
Yeah, I do.
And also, we're going to eventually have you come up and take a picture.
Tony?
The rest of my family's on their way from North Dakota, but they're not here yet.
It's a long drive.
She thinks she may have an
out. Oh, she's having difficulties.
Okay.
All right, let's get one with just the family.
Oh, you're sweet.
Deanna? Come on, Trent.
We may have an outburst.
That's good. That'd be a great question.
No. Oh, okay. It's going to be bad.
Give him a smile. Come on.
You
got a picture of your ears.
Yeah.
Now, Mr.
Yes. Oh, 4 and 3.
Well, you're all welcome to stay, but we're not going to think it's at all rude.
Okay.
So thank you very much for coming and celebrating, bud. Okay, next on the agenda is item two, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on topics not on today's agenda for public hearing? An opportunity to comment on public hearing items are scheduled later in our agenda. Please state your first and last name for the record, and comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Don't see any hands up in the room. Don't have any blue cards, and I'm not seeing any hands up online. So let's move along to agenda item three, our consent agenda. 3A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of July 21st, 2026. 3B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. 3C, consideration of certification slash ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion. Is there any questions or comments, commissioners?
I have none.
Device just timed out here.
I just had a. I have some checkpoints with those. On the tree trimming, is this a new contractor with us? XYLEMLLC. I mean, you got some great bids on it.
Contracts purchasing, they, Xylem purchased one of the local tree trimming firms, so it is the same company.
Okay, thank you.
Same position.
Any other questions?
I have none.
I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion passed unanimously. Next is item four, our CEO general manager briefing and study session. This item is for the board and our general manager discussion among ourselves with PP staff. So I'll introduce our general manager, John Harlow, who will facilitate this part of the meeting. Good morning, John.
Good morning, commissioners.
And I really don't think you were a problem.
I don't know.
Maybe repeat customer.
We'll start with our media report and our own Aaron Sweeney. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, John. Good morning, commissioners. Aaron Sweeney, manager of corporate communications, here with a brief media report. Wildfires, obviously in the news quite a bit right now. This story came out a couple weeks ago. Erica Keene worked with a reporter from the RTO Insider who was really reaching out, talking about collaboration amongst utilities across the region. At that point, kind of going into wildfire season, we're kind of in the middle of it now. But story turned out really well, really showcased that, you know, cross collaboration between all these utilities and how we work together. To mitigate, talk a little bit about PSPS and how you know, some of us have called them, some of us haven't, but we're all prepared. Also, we were able to get a little bit in about SnowSmart and really the benefits around those enclosures and how they're going to help us in the future with remote operation capabilities. Second story is the Herald story wrote on our Arlington battery project. We worked with Ameresco to get a reporter out there for a tour of the site, get some photos, really focused on the resource adequacy that this project will provide for us, operational cost savings, things like that. We also saw the NPR story that just came out a couple days ago. So obviously a lot of interest around our battery project, and Erica is working with Jessica Spar and the battery project team a lot on that.
And I found that in terms of the content of those articles, how they stress the benefits.
Yes, the benefits and the safety aspects of it too, which I think we're really good.
You read it and we thought, oh, okay, I'll have to do it.
Yeah, great. One other thing that didn't make the report was we actually, King 5 reached out a couple weeks ago during the heat wave, and we were able to talk to them about some of the energy efficiency measures, things like that, that we can have customers do. Some of those easy, kind of no-cost tips that can help folks save money during the heat wave. So I just wanted to mention that. Publications, the Wirehead for August. We're really focusing on how we serve growth. This has been obviously a really big topic, so we wanted to make sure customers understood the process How large loads come in, how we work with them, and stressing really, you know, how we work with those customers to make sure that we serve them in a way that doesn't affect our regular customers and repairs. Also talking about transparency and making sure they understand that we're as public power. These things go through our commission and that they're welcome to come and voice their opinion. And then also, we had a nice piece show up in the Hydro Leader magazine. Erica, Scott Spar, and Kendra McDonald represented us, I thought, really well. Really just highlighting all the work that's gone into all wide range of our hydro projects, not just Jackson. And really talking about the environmental attributes and stewardship of those projects. And then finally, I wanted to mention Safe Days is coming up on Wednesday and Thursday. And just our team really did a really great job of working with the Safe Days team to come up with this and put out our highlights to make sure that we have all the information out there for the next 2 days. And then, so, you know, there's, you can see how many people worked on Safe Days. These are all the thank yous. So just a lot of work goes into it. So just wanted to highlight that.
Is that in today's highlight?
It should be reaching mailboxes today.
I don't have a mailbox.
And we have one.
No,
I say, can we have one?
Yes, I can use you guys that for copies for sure.
Send us either back there or here.
Yes. Well, our print shop does an amazing job, so I can just walk right across the alleyway and get you guys some.
I just want to know where things are.
Yeah, this will tell you.
Can I go even though I didn't sign up for a class?
Yes.
I couldn't make up my mind.
You can go both days, huh?
I want to do PPC. I'm done interrupting you.
No, that's it for me. Any questions?
Questions? Thank you. That was brief.
Very brief.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Aaron. Next up is Don Pressler and our Customer Environmental Sustainability Goals Working Group.
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Don Pressler, a lead in the Natural Resources Department, and I'm also the chair of the Environmental Stewardship Committee. Today's presentation is going to be a little bit different than I typically give on our hydro projects and what we do for habitat management. I'm focused on the Environmental Stewardship Committee and what I'm presenting today. John and Colleen mentioned that group a little bit at the last meeting, and I want to give a little bit more background on it. It's evolved over time. We used to have what was called the Environmental Advisory Team. It's put together by Ann Spangler, our former general counsel, and myself back in the 2019 timeframe, bringing together senior leaders and subject matter experts regarding touch points with nature, environment, and what we do in our operations. And at that same time, Laura Zork and I put together a Sustainability Stewards. It's more of a grassroots effort group. And since that time, in the last year, we've combined those two groups so we can have this collective brain trust and action group. And that is the Environmental Stewardship Committee. So that's what I'm here presenting on today. It's information only. To give you a high-level overview of a new process that we've developed, going back to the customer service that we just talked about, identifying a new process that customers can use if they have a new environmental stewardship goal or idea that they would like the community to consider. So this new program supports our strategic plan priority number 4, which is building a sustainable future with our communities, and in particular 4.2, which is really focused on our customer, helping our customers meet their environmental sustainability goals. There's a couple sub initiatives under that. Item A was to develop the guidelines, kind of the parameters in which we can operate as a public utility in that space. And that was created by Sarah DiVittorio and Legal. And using those guidelines, we established as part of Initiative B, the process by which we can take in requests and evaluate them to see if this is something that we can proceed with. So what we did was we established This Customer Environmental Sustainability Goals Working Group, long name, I'll abbreviate with CESG, and it is a cross-departmental think tank with representatives from various departments that will be evaluating these new requests that come in. So folks from the legal department, the finance department, natural resources, customer service, and then we can also pull in other experts based on the request that comes in, so pulling in water, energy services, veg management, environmental affairs, or other departments, again, based on that request. So this working group will kind of have oversight of the process of these requests coming in so we can track the information and share it out with the Environmental Stewardship Committee moving forward. The scope of the requests are really focused on environmental stewardship items listed on the slides, and I really want to point out we have a lot of great programs already set up for environmental stewardship through conservation programs and whatnot. So this process will support new requests kind of outside the bounds of what we already do. If a request does come in for something we do, that gets forwarded on to the responsible party. So this is really focused on the unknowns out there that may be of interest to our customers, but there's not really a niche for them right now. So what the process is going to look like, and what we want to forward the information to you so you can share out if you're out and about in the community and there's a request that comes in, you can let people know. We have a website called Go Sustainable on snowpup.com, and it gives the background information about the program and the process. And there will be a form there that the customer can fill out, giving basic information about the customer, and then also their request, a little bit more specifics of what the sustainability request is. You know, if they have background or idea of what kind of resources it might need, how long, what it helps support. So they can fill out that form. We have it online, but if there are folks that come in person or call in, we also have a quick reference guide that the CSRs can use to follow to help the customer walk through that process, or they can do it online for the customer. Again, if the request is something we have already, I'll forward that out to the responsible department. But if it's a new request, something we don't do, that will get routed out to the CESG for review and evaluation, and also documentation of that analysis, so we can have a consistent, thorough, complete review by all those entities that I previously mentioned. Will want to make sure that, you know, what we're looking at is something we can legally do, look at the risks associated with doing that, what kind of benefits it could have for the environment and our goals towards sustainability, what's the cost, what's the staff time involved, kind of looking at that big picture in a consistent way. And based on that analysis, the CESG will make a recommendation to the Environmental Stewardship Committee, and the committee will review it, the analysis that we did, but also take into consideration, you know, what else is going on in the district. Do we have the resources? Does it align with our goals? Is it something we can do now, something in the future, or just not something we can accommodate? So, based on that, we'll provide feedback to the customer. So they'll be receiving feedback along the way when we receive the request, any kind of updates along the way. And then also after the full analysis is done, we'll send them back a response. And hopefully we're targeting that full process to take less than 90 days to do. And then the CESG will also be tracking all these requests, how we respond to them, looking at trends over time and sharing that information with the Environmental Stewardship Committee on an annual basis. So we can track, you know, what's being requested, what kind of services might we want to provide in the future.
Dawn, as we go through this and help people get answers to their questions, are we going to provide like a frequently asked questions or a list of the things that people have showed interest in?
Yeah, definitely. We'll be tracking that. And again, on our website, we have a lot of information about the process itself. And as things come in, or if there's consistent questions or asks that we can or can't accommodate, we can always update the website. So they have the link.
We ask questions, is that?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, I spoke to a customer the other day who was very unhappy about dams and salmon and was shocked, he was shocked to find out that none of our projects impede impede salmon and that, you know, one of them, we of course have done an enormous amount of benefit to salmon, improving habitat access. So.
Yeah, definitely. Can update the website and provide that information. And, you know, it's a hydro specific question. I'm always happy to help answer that too, of course. But yes, we'll keep the customers up to date so we can share out that information. Next up, so we did a soft launch of this process starting July 1st of this year, and we're working with corporate communications to continue educating internal staff and externally our customers this new process and where they can go to submit a sustainability request. We're going to pilot it over the next 12 months, kind of assessing what kinds of requests are coming in, how many, how we're addressing it. Maybe there's some snafus that we can tweak along the way, and we'll be continuing to share the information with the Environmental Stewardship Committee, Justine, and then at the end of the 12 months, we can propose to extend it or make it a permanent, modify it type process. And nothing happens for vacuum, so I want to give a shout out to the CESG working group here. They helped develop this process and also raised their hand to volunteer to do the pilot project analysis moving forward as requests come in. I want to thank our Environmental Stewardship Committee and also our sponsors for supporting this. And just in summary information, reminder, if you do get a request for a sustainability idea, send them to the Go Sustainable webpage on snowpod.com. Thank you.
Questions, commissioners? Comments?
I do. Okay. Questions of clarification. Okay, the work that your committee does is, you receive something directly from the customer, is that correct? And it's not from internal. Is it strictly the customer or?
It's mainly the customer, but also if there's key account rep or customer service rep, they're helping a customer, they can also put the information
okay,
in that.
Okay, in terms of transmitting it to you guys.
Yeah.
But this particular program is customer oriented. Now, the customer wants to do something, submit it to us, and then the work that your group does up to 90 days, which is understandable. Some of this stuff is pretty complex. Who gets back to the course of return information to the customer? When does that happen? After 90 days or after the Environmental Stewardship Committee reviews it?
There's a couple different steps along the way. Once we receive the request, we'll let them know, thank you, yeah, we received it, we're analyzing it. If it's something we know that we can't do because it's outside our service territory or outside the parameters of which we can operate as a PUD, we'll also send them that right away once we know that. But yes, you're right, it takes a while to do cost analysis and risk assessment and staff, you know, and all the other things that we're looking at.
But they'll clearly understand that.
Yeah, at the end, you know, if it's something that we can support, we'll let them know that and which department we'll be reaching out to them to work with. Or we'll let them know, sorry, we can't help you, and here are the reasons why. And then I just also wanted to clarify, so going back to when you said internal, the Environmental Stewardship Committee can also separately outside this process look at ideas from other, you know, internal staff that
okay,
might have
that's
ideas.
Yeah,
this is a group.
That handles that.
Okay. Yeah, this is a group that can look at it multifaceted. So, yeah, you're going to want to still know legal, you're going to want to know financial costs, you know, risks, who's going to do it, kind of all the support that's going to be needed. And this is a comprehensive cross PUD group that has all those players at the table.
Okay, so you said this is kind of a think tank, your team. So there isn't a decision point, you just do the study. And if there isn't a clear indication that we can't do it, you do your research, your study, documentation, and you send it on to this other committee.
Yeah, this Environmental Stewardship Committee, because yeah. That's comprised of our executive sponsors who the members
okay,
of the
that's the executive.
Has senior managers, right. Managers on board that right. Really can dedicate the resources and kind of get the go, no go.
So that's the approval
yes.
Level.
Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned also audit. Well, I called it audit, you know, going back through. Is that at the petition level? Does your team have any audit responsibility?
I wouldn't say
other than getting back to the customer. Okay.
Yes, we'll get back to the customer and we're going to do evaluation of the request coming in, how do we
so
respond to it,
well,
how
it's
many.
Focused on that, not okay, not implementation and results.
Just from the review process itself, but not necessarily
okay.
If we
yeah,
perform the implementation,
okay.
Yeah, that would be more of that responsible
okay.
Department would be responsible.
Well, I think this is a great idea.
Yeah,
and,
about it.
Hope it can get well communicated to our customer base to take advantage of.
Yeah,
thank you.
I have questions. Thank you for all those questions, Commissioner Olson. Thank you so much. So for clarification, do you launch this program in July 1st?
We launched it technically on July 1st
okay.
Already by making the external website live. And we've done some soft rollout communication to internally, but Parker Communications is going to do some additional internal and external.
And so far, how many people they are engaged from the customer perspective?
Zero so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we prepared to answer another language besides English?
We have customer service staff available to help with that.
Okay, so any customer can go there and ask any questions regarding all these topics. So whatever thinking outside the box that they can submit.
Yeah, they're free to submit any kind of environmental sustainability. And again, it's the review process on our end. Does it fit the legal parameters of which we, you know, have purview as a public utility? Can we support that type of?
Okay, and for the marketing and communication perspective team, how we can communicate to our customers that we have in place this wonderful website there that you can reach out to us and put all the questions that you can imagine that we are there to, you know, answer those
mm-hmm.
questions.
Yeah,
so.
Working with corporate communication, Aaron Sweeney's team, he has a communication plan that he's going to be implementing to get the word out through the various channels, whether it's on the website, the mailers. The
are things. You guys planning to do like a press release regarding this website or something to send all the media that besides the English, newspapers, there are others outside, they are in Vietnamese or Spanish or, you know, because if we look at, we launched this to our customers in general.
Yeah,
so we must include every single one.
Yes, there. I just got the head nod
yeah.
From Aaron, so
okay.
He's going to do that.
Good to know. Okay, thank you.
I think it's an exciting program.
It is.
It's a good niche for us anyway. It makes a lot of sense for us to become the go-to to help customers with their sustainability.
Well, and what companies ask that question?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever had any ideas that you thought might work well for our public utility? We have no place to go on it and crap. So I think it's great, you know, sell it that way. You have now have a vehicle for submitting your ideas.
We're, you know, brilliant people here at the PUD, but there's a lot of brilliant people outside the PUD as well. So we want to hear from them and the outside the box solutions that, you know, maybe is something we didn't think about or, you know, pulling from another utility that they work for. And so it's a great venue to allow that feedback to come to us. So to consider.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
It'll be interesting to see the kinds of requests or questions we get.
Yeah, definitely.
Just want to say, you know, huge thank you to Dawn and all of her energy with the sustainability committee. I mean, she is passionate. She is organized. Those meetings are really effective, as John noted at the last meeting. This group is really moving, and it brings a lot of different parts of the organization together. I'll say we've always gotten customers' ideas, is my perspective. It's we've typically have an avenue to really evaluate those in a robust way with lots of different perspectives. It's always like, well, legal said we can't do that, or this group said we can't do that, or we're not really structured to think about things that way. We offer a tremendous amount of different sustainability and conservation benefits to our customers, but those creative ideas do come in. And what we said, we want to be responsive to our customers and have an avenue to really evaluate those and get creative.
Yeah.
Can we set up a nonprofit? How do we use our funds effectively to make sure that we're doing the best we can to mitigate our impacts and help our customers conserve energy and water and maintain the natural resources that we all love in this region? So huge kudos to Dawn and all the work that she's done. This is a great opportunity for the utility.
Thank you, Dawn. All right, next up, the what and when of energy efficiency measures. Jeff Feinberg and Kristen O'Shea.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Feinberg, Senior Manager of Energy Services, and I'm here to give a little bit of an introduction and context of what you're about to learn with us. And so, first and foremost, our team has been really lucky over the past couple of summers to actually have an intern. So lucky that our intern had so much fun last summer, she wanted to come back and work with our department again this summer, which was really, really cool for us. That being said, I'll let Kristen introduce herself to you guys a little bit more about her educational journey and what she's working on. But one of the things we did at the beginning of the summer is we really wanted to understand, you know, developmentally, what is she looking for in her internship? Where is she at in her education? What is she trying to do? And then how does that align with what we're working on in our department? And one of the things Kristen shared, in addition to kind of economics and analytics and how that applies to business, she also wanted more experience presenting. She actually said she'd like experience presenting to the most challenging audience on the West Coast. And I said, good news. We do that twice a year. I'm just kidding. That audience wasn't available. And
well, you could have a board, and there are some that fall asleep.
That's true. Yeah. No. But in all seriousness, one of the things she wanted to do was think about how to not only, you know, gather information and make it actionable, but how do you also adapt that to a variety of audiences, right? And so not only doing this great analytical work that she's doing for our department, but how do we also shape that so that, you know, not only energy services insiders can understand how to use it, but also the public. And so we thought that this would be a really good forum, not to mention that you guys probably get questions from your constituents all the time about, hey, why do you offer rebates on X but not Y? Or how do you set the rebate level on these various appliances, so on and so forth? And so we thought that the study that she's done for us would be really meaningful for you guys to kind of learn alongside our department. And then the last piece of context I'll give is one of the other really great benefits of this internship program and the work that Kristen's provided for us. You know, a lot of times our team has to kind of look at the task immediately in front of them or the task in the near-term future of kind of a 3 to 5 year window of what's happening and how do we meet these goals. You know, we've got policy, we've got state law, we've got fiscal responsibility, we've got resource things, we've got market, we've got customer, we have all these things we're trying to kind of put together. And so our team a lot of times doesn't have the luxury of kind of looking backwards and doing a thorough kind of review and reflection on what we've done so far and how to bring that into our work so that we can make even more informed decisions moving forward. That's been a benefit that Kristen and her work has provided in the various projects that we've been able to share with her. And so this is just one of several of these kind of reflexive projects that we've been working on so that our team can be even more informed and intentional about the decisions we make to the benefit of the utility and the customer. So with that, I'll pass it over to Kristen.
Before you do, I just want to say thank you, Jeff, for providing such rich internships and the whole organization I have. Internships seem to be more in vogue regionally, so I'm running into lots of other community leaders who have internships, and they're blown away by the kinds of things that our interns are doing, which is phenomenal. When I was an intern, I shipped paint And I hate it.
Well, I'll say, I mean, a huge, yeah, thank you for that. And a huge shout out to Julie Mainstone and Chris Scudder, who here at the district, in addition to their regular work, are the ones kind of shepherding the group of interns.
Yep.
Yesterday, we had all the interns kind of doing, you know, summary presentations of the work. And I was blown away at the different things that the interns across the district are doing. And this is real work that they're getting to do. And not just, I mean, no offense to Paint Chip, but...
someone has to do it.
They're indeed doing that plus a lot of other things as well. But.
Well, I also think this is an industry where people really want to do a lot for sustainability, for clean energy. You know, this has been sort of a sleepy industry since Edison, and now I think it just provides an opportunity for people to really get involved in the kinds of things that many people are passionate about. So.
Agreed. All
right. Right. So we're going to be tough on her, right?
Please.
Okay.
Please. I've tried to prepare. So it's really scary up here.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Commissioners.
You don't want to adjust the mic.
Yeah. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Kristen O'Shea. I'm the intern both this year and last year for the Customer and Energy Services Department under the very humorous Jeff Feinberg. And today, I'll be sharing a purely informational case study on the residential energy efficiency measures that have centered my study as of recently. So a little bit more about me before we jump right in. I'm a longtime resident of Suquamish County. I've been here for over 5 years, and so that's why it's been such an amazing opportunity to be able to work at such a powerhouse of Suquamish County. I go to Cornell University over on the East Coast, which is where I learn a lot of my practicals that I'm then able to apply over here. And what a lot of this hands-on experience mostly entails is lots and lots of spreadsheets of data. So I do data analysis for our various energy efficiency programs, and I work zealously to aggregate data, pinpoint and visualize findings, and ultimately help upper management find data-driven solutions. So last year, I worked a lot on our income-qualified discount program, and over my summer, I was able to help auto-enroll over 700 households into income-qualified discounts that they were previously qualified for, but for whatever reason, weren't already enrolled in. This year, I've been working a lot on our energy efficiency and retrofit programs, from windows to HVAC to water heating, and I've delved into the associated savings of each to find if they've improved or degraded over time. And what I found is pretty interesting. So for years, we've known that our cost-effective residential measures have been degrading over time. However, we didn't know exactly to what extent until now. Tasked with this, I immediately got to work aggregating the data that we had since 2019 to evaluate trend lines and review windows of time in which we had opportunities ready to be seized. I quickly came to find that VPA changed their methodology exactly every 2 years, and that each measure lasted just above 5 years. And while, yes, some of our measures last a bit longer, no measure lasts forever. And why does this matter? Well, because timing matters. VPA's portfolio evolves, and that's why ours should too. Which leads me to a case study. So over the past 5 years, a lot of our measures have remained relatively stable. However, thermostats appear to be increasingly volatile. For heat pump and forced air furnace thermostats, we recorded a perceived savings degradation of a whopping 40 to 60% in 2024. This confirmed our original hypothesis that certain measures have been degrading or deteriorating over time. However, I found something else that was even more interesting. While most of our thermostats have reported a degradation, our line voltage thermostats were still going strong from a few years prior. Let's for a second just look into single family line voltage thermostats. In 2022, VPA increased the perceived site savings of this measure by 33%. That same year, the incremental cost to customers who implemented that measure decreased by 20%, enhancing the overall customer incentive. And all the while, VPA's reimbursement to us for this measure remained stable as it had for the past 5 years. Now, to put that into a little perspective of return on investment, or how it's calculated here, energy savings over incremental cost, the PUD's ROI increased by 30% in 2022, with customers' ROI increasing by 60% that same year. Just 2 years later, VPA's methodology shifted yet again, increasing VPA's reimbursement level to us by nearly four times. This month of the PUD had never seen a better opportunity to push single-family line voltage thermostats. We were saving more energy than ever, getting reimbursed for pushing it more than ever, and even our customers had it easier than ever to commit to the upgrade. However, in 2026 came yet another shift. For the first time ever, BPA cut their funding for this measure back down to its original stature. So that three-year period between 2022 and 2025 represented a missed opportunity. So while still a sincerely important and impactful investment for the PUD, this measure had reverted to subpar affordability. Now, single-family line voltage thermostats may represent a rather niche phenomenon, but this experience highlights the importance of applying more scrutiny to historical trends to prevent opportunities like this from being missed again. If we captured this massive delta and implemented a short-term push before it became a lagging metric, the savings could have been substantial. And this also helps us prepare for sunsets down the line when measures are about to go extinct. And for me, this project came with a few key highlights. First, customer value and utility value are almost always interconnected. I quickly noticed that the best opportunities and strongest opportunities usually existed when customer value, BPA value, and PUD value all aligned. And then also, behind every spreadsheet of data involves a decision ultimately affecting customer affordability and energy savings. And then beyond the data, this project has served as an extremely tactile experience for me to apply my learnings over at school. This internship has been an incredible opportunity since the beginning, and it's made me incredibly proud and grateful to be a resident of Snohomish County, and I'm genuinely thrilled to see what the future holds for utility. I want to give a special thanks to Jeff Feinberg and Missy Wilch, my mentors throughout the past 2 summers, and the rest of the Customer and Energy Services team for their, again, immense guidance and support, and for Julie Mainson for setting up the intern program, and then for you all for giving me the space to present here today. I believe that this is a very frequent thing that happens, and so I want to thank you all for making me feel so at home these past few years. Thank you, and I'm now open for questions.
Any questions, Commissioner?
Not a question, just another observation. I gotta tell you, when I read this, went over the packet over the weekend, you know how rare it is for, in general, I'm not saying inside the utility, to bring forward to an elected body lost opportunity. That's how we learn. That's how we change in the future. I was really blown away. I mean, we have it in other presentations that we have, but the way you have structured it is so stark, and the application can go far beyond this. I just was very, very impressed, as well as your excellent presenter.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm very impressed as well, and we are very lucky to have you and grateful to have you. And I'm glad that you live here in Snohomish, not another county, right? We miss the opportunity. So I will, with this case study, and thank you for all that you do. Really appreciate it. Yeah.
Gratitude is reciprocal.
Well, I love data. I love that you jumped in and analyzed it. So I have a couple of questions. First, have you had the opportunity to work directly with Bonneville staff that helped set these targets?
I have not. I have, after this project, I'm really, really, really love to.
Yeah, well, probably sure to Portland in the future.
Yeah.
And my other question is, so Bonneville sets these targets, but how do we know they've set them right? I mean, that would be the interesting part, just to understand the work they do to help set these. So if they've set one and there's something better for us, how do we navigate that?
100%. Yeah, BPA changes their methodology again every 2 years. There's a public annual report that's posted every year, so I kind of took a deep dive into that, and I noticed that a few key things they take into account frequently is market risks, and then of course the legal rights to certain customer segments. And so it's while they have very similar goals to us in terms of energy savings and customer affordability, they have their whole engineering team and research team that might have a slightly different methodology that we don't get much of a look into, except very rather ambiguous terms. And so I completely agree. It's why it's becoming increasingly important to have representatives that's cross collaborating with BPA.
Yeah. Yeah, and representation, yeah.
100%.
How BP does it. So, and the line will service that. I mean, really, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know if there's that many customers that have them, but each of those has tremendous load.
Yeah.
As opposed to a conventional thermostat, may have a big load, may have a small load. Yeah, fascinating.
I have a
yeah.
question about this. So you mentioned about the 2022 to 2025. We miss the opportunity. So what recommendations could you give us in order that doesn't happen anymore?
Yeah.
And recommendations to follow? Because you identify those, right?
100%,
yeah.
100%. Yeah, so this, I didn't want to overload too much data here, so there's nothing about BP's reverse on this slide, but this just shows simply the site savings. And as you can see, I don't know if this is a pointer, am I not? In 2022, that's where line voltage thermostats have this really big push. Multifamily, actually, even more so, but I wanted to do single family more common. And as you can see, if we had, as the PUD noticed when BPA changed their perceived site savings, either pushed then or even 2 years later when our BPA, when we were beginning to be reimbursed by BPA nearly 4x, nearly four times, either at any point along that spectrum, we would have ended up creating more savings and ultimately better opportunity for customers' affordability before they had reduced that back down to their original BPA reimbursement level. So it's these kind of windows, and the reason why I picked thermostats specifically, where this was an extremely apparent window that would have been, you know, not just a one-year time gap, but a pretty wide one, a pretty substantial window of time in which there was an opportunity right to be seized.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, and you know, John, this does, I don't know what level of involvement we have with Bonneville when they set these and other utilities have, but it is interesting if there's a process that we're their biggest customer, but there's also other utilities in the Northwest that have very different load profiles.
Yep.
It would be interesting to see if it needs to be a one-size-fits-all or how we can have impact to make sure that we get the.
Yeah, I think there's maybe even an opportunity to connect with BPA and give them an inside look on the work that Chris has done, and then see if we can't pull out how they're thinking about, you know, the future
right.
settings and criteria, and maybe have more influence. So we'll pursue that.
Any other questions? Great presentation. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We appreciate you.
That is it for the
someone, did someone have their hand up?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
If it can be helpful, Jeff Feinberg, Senior Manager of Energy Services. I did want to say, so we do participate with BPA and kind of measure setting in a couple ways. One of the regional groups that helps do the technical calculations on savings and measures and that sort of thing is the Regional Technical Forum. We do have representation. One of our energy management engineers is on that forum. So granted, we are one of several voices. And so there's a lot of different sort of 360 processes that are a part of how they assign measure savings and things like that. So we are pretty active in that space. But this kind of research, you know, where it's really helpful for us as a team is, you know, the BPA reimbursement is one piece of kind of the equation in terms of how we value things for Snohomish County residents. And so being able to have this extra layer of scrutiny really helps us think about the timing of not just bringing things into the portfolio of programs, but when we really want to kind of drive and maybe raise it to some level beyond and well beyond the BPA because of what it could mean for our customers. And a great example of how we're going to use this in the future is we do have residential induction cooking that is coming into the BPA measure list starting on October 1. And so those are your like induction cooking stovetops and ovens. And so we're going to take some of the trends that we've seen that Kristen's going to help identify. By the way, she put this in a living spreadsheet so we can just upload the new measures as we go and continue this work while she's back at Cornell. But the idea is we're going to be able to use some of the research she's got to look at the trends to know how aggressive and when aggressive to be with this new measure induction comes on. So this is an ongoing thing that we'll take well into the future. And so just wanted to comment on that.
You know, and I would say the other thing is there's a communication opportunity too, because customers are constantly saying, you don't longer give a rebate for this or for that. And so of course, the I'm thinking of, you know, the savings and what changes, but of course there's the Bonneville aspect.
Yeah.
What gets reimbursed too. And I don't know that customers appreciate how that works.
Yeah.
It's so unique having Bonneville help dictate whatever you want, energy efficiency in the region. I mean, it's interesting because in the Northwest, we do all this conservation, we have the lowest cost energy. So it's just different from most people's experience.
And it's important to our team to always think about, no matter how much we're into this, at the end of the day, most of our customers are just asking, why can't you help me with X?
Yes.
And so for us, it's kind of constantly trying to make sure that not only do we have a really good, thoughtful, and informed answer, but also that we think, like, is there a way we can help you with X? And if so, how and when and how can we do it? And so we're always thinking about
yeah.
it, even though we can really get bogged down in kilowatt hours.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
But it does highlight, to Jeff's point, the incredible work the entire team does here in evaluating, and this is just another step that we can take to up our game, but we are as good as anybody in this whole field of energy efficiency. In fact, I would say we are the best.
And we're the only industry I know of that helps you consume less of their product.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's
please use
those.
Excellent.
So right. That's it for the presentation this morning.
All right, then we'll jump right into our senior general manager report. Your report for us today, John?
Yeah, a couple of things to highlight. First, I just wanted to note, for your awareness, we started a what's called the Foreman in Training program about 9 years ago, and we focused on two groups at that time, which was the line department and the substation, to prepare our tenured journeyman to step into the foreman role. We just graduated the first half of 2026, the first cohort in 2026, and that is now up to seven different groups. We now have tree trimmer, we have tool room, we have transportation, we have the CSR group that also participate, and it's the foreman and lead in training, because many of those groups titled instead of using the foreman title, they use the lead title. We're kicking off the second cohort in 2026 that will add another group, which is our facility maintenance. Actually, two more groups, facility maintenance mechanics and our water operations will also participate in that program. So, it's really cool to see that program and how it's grown and helping develop our future leaders in our field operations. Also, this month's wellness challenge from HR is Step Into Better Health, encourages employees to increase their daily movement by building simple, sustainable habits and incorporating more steps into their everyday routines. And then lastly, just wanted to note for the commissioners that Brenda White and I had a great introductory meeting to the new Monroe mayor, Patsy Kudabek, who I worked with Patsy, Patsy still works at the Y, but have had the opportunity to work with her as I've been on the Y board. And it will help our relationship with the city of Monroe even more so. So looking forward to having the opportunity to work with her. And that's it. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions for John about his report?
I have no questions other than let us know if we get fires.
Oh yeah.
If we have any fires start
yeah.
affect our territory.
Yes, absolutely. And we do have a team that's all over that, both operationally as well as monitoring smoke levels so that we can take the necessary precautions with our folks that are out in the field working and take the necessary steps. In fact, there is, just as a heads up, I think we're gonna be fine based on the latest forecast, but there are still discussions going on how it could impact safety days for tomorrow and Thursday.
Oh,
and air quality.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know over the weekend there were some national alerts about cyber security with water utilities.
Yeah.
I know we can't talk about specifics of cyber and what we do, but did we receive alerts and did we have any actionable?
Christy. Yeah, we became aware.
Hello, Chrissy Sterling, Chief Information Officer. That is a great question, and appreciate your paying attention to those important things related to cybersecurity. Yes, in fact, there's been several articles out there with various alerts about recent cyber attacks on water districts throughout the country, particularly in Minnesota. We do get alerts, we do follow media, we have contacts with various agencies, both within the utility and government. So we get information about cybersecurity in many different ways. Certainly, our water district, along with the electric side of our business, we have a strong security program. And in fact, yes, we actively work towards making sure that we continue to stay ahead of these things. And just for a little bit of background, last year's penetration test and analysis was with the state auditor's office that was focused on our water districts. So it's something that we're aware of. It's always evolving, and we have a team that keeps focus on this. Happy to answer any questions.
Most of those systems that were affected, they all seem to have the same kind of software or program. Is that standard for the industry? Do we have the same thing?
They might use different software solutions and vendors, but they all have similar things. For instance, their SCADA program, we use that in electric operations as well as water. It helps with the operations management of the technology that supports operations. So yes, we do have that type of solution. And those are things that we have focused on to make sure they're up to date. We work with vendors to support that. That combined with, we call it security in depth, where we're looking at everything from our networking to education of our employees to ensuring that systems are up to date with the latest patching. All of that goes into our approach to protecting these type of systems. But always a vulnerability out there, and it's something that we focus on every day.
Yeah, I didn't know they had that. They had something that was unique.
Nope, great question.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Tell them to stay out of our territory.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Yeah. All right, next is item six, items for individual consideration. 6A, consideration of a motion accepting the second quarter 2026 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
Are there any questions or comments, commissioners, about the report?
I have no questions.
I have no questions. It seemed like that there were no violations.
No violations, no. It's a great report, and hopefully we never have any comments on it.
Yes.
So thank you. For all of
it. Oh, wait a minute.
Put it together.
I don't know. Wait.
Yeah. I know. Okay, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Next, item seven, public hearings in action. 7A, consideration of a resolution creating the district's flex ready for business supplemental pilot rate schedule. I'll call for a motion. I'll now convene a public hearing. We have Chris Scudder available to answer any questions. Are there any questions from the public regarding the resolution? If so, please raise your hand. I see no hands up online. I see no hands up in the room. Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
No,
I have no questions.
It's been briefed. Okay, I will close the public hearing and I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Next is item 8, commission business. 8A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I have none.
Well, yesterday I attend the event, the new utility box in the station. It was very nice to see the artists, and that was really nice. Mm-hmm. I went with Allison, and thank you, Brenda. That was good opportunity and beautiful colors and the box and everything.
Oh, really?
So
yeah, I've seen one I like.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not real thrilled about this, but there was one that I think it was in Linwood actually.
Very nice.
There's some beautiful ones out there.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me where they are, so I can
Okay.
Drive on by.
I'll put together a website, the Utility Box Art of Snohomish County and Camille. That's funny. Okay, and next, do you have any reports?
No.
I don't have any reports either. Next is 8B, our Commission for Event Calendar. Are there any changes to the Commissioner Event Calendar? This is on page 97 of our packet.
I have a question for the safety days. Are we going to attend only tomorrow or the 2 days?
You're welcome to attend both days if you want.
For clarification. Yeah.
You're welcome to attend both days if you'd like.
Yeah.
I believe PBC is on Thursday, so.
I think it's on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
PBC is on Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do Wednesday, so I just.
I watch.
Join the PBC session.
Okay. Next is item 8C, our June 2026 District Dashboard. Are there any questions about the dashboard?
Just a sec, I see if I have any marks. Okay, yeah, almost 270. No, almost 270,000. How about that?
It's impressive.
Like that thought.
Any other comments, Commissioner? I have a few, like Commissioner Olson's looking. So I'm curious about the preventable vehicle accidents trending up. And I'm wondering if it's specific kind of department, specific department. I'm just reflecting on, we've got Connect Up vans out there and we made new to us employees. And I'm just kind of curious. And I think here's someone to answer the question.
Thank you, Commissioner Logan.
Good morning.
Laura Lemke, Program Director of Government Relations and Strategy. The answer to your question is that there are a number of departments driving up the number of accidents. So your specific question about Connect Up and whether or not the AMI deployment team is driving up accidents, the answer to that is that they've had 3 accidents year to date versus 0 last year. So they're part of that increase. We also have several other departments that have had 1 or 2 additional accidents this year compared to last year. So not attempting to speak to the causes of the accidents, but it's not a specific department driving
okay.
the number.
Okay. And then I'm continuing to be impressed with the number of people that are signed up for My Snow Profile.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is Connect Up helping drive that? Are people choosing when they get their meter to sign up?
I don't have a specific answer to that question. My educated guess, based on everything else that's been going on in the last couple of years, is that that number has been sort of steadily increasing 5% year over
mm-hmm.
year for the last 18 months or so. And it's likely a combination of a change that when you sign up for My Snowpad, you're now, so something is driving that.
Yeah.
And it's likely a change in the number of new customers turning over, younger generations, et cetera, plus all the good work that communications and customer service are doing to drive people to sign up for My Snowpad and select paperless billing. If you want specific detail about what we've been doing, I can ask Aaron Sweeney to.
No, it's fine. It's wonderful. It's amazing that 77%
yeah.
of people are doing something together. That's huge percentage.
Diving into the specific
yeah.
drivers and looking at it, it's hard to know exactly, but it's probably a combination of factors.
Impressed.
And I have a comment. I'm really impressed with the total of the customers they called in June 2026. But most impressive is the average of 38 seconds to speak to a customer service representative. So that is unbelievable.
Yeah. And
30 seconds.
I don't know where I called. I picked up in
yeah.
less than a minute.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that, but the few times I've called, you get somebody who can answer a challenging question, right? I mean, I could go to My Snowpad and I can answer the easy questions, but it's impressive.
Yeah, and the team's been working hard on those, all of those customer service level metrics and especially the average speed of answer. It's, yeah, you're doing great work. And one quick comment back to the preventable vehicle accidents. As Laura said, that's spread throughout a number of different groups with the uptick. And we are working on a couple different things to mitigate the increase in vehicle accidents, one of which is a more structured accountability program or process that we've been working on and trying to get across the finish line, and will get across the finish line within the next couple of months. And it's just really so folks know when you're operating a vehicle, it's in a critical safety thing, it's a critical aspect of us being out in the community, and that we need to be more responsible when we're driving vehicles. There's also the cost aspect and all the other things that come with us having too many accidents.
Thank you. Okay, next is item, thank you, Laura. Next is item 8D, or 2026 financial status report for June. Are there any questions or comments, commissioners?
I have no questions.
Okay, no, I don't have any marks. Okay, no.
Commissioner Toronto Crosby, any questions? I have a question about CapEx. Surprisingly, all right, on slide two. So we're behind year to date 29 million. And we're projecting we're going to catch up and spend everything budgeted. And I'm not saying that can't be done, but I'm just saying this has been challenging for us. And as we talked about before, this impacts our rate decision at the end of the year because it impacts cash on hand. So I just wanted to.
And we will be coming back to you as we start the budget process with the how we are going to address that.
Okay.
That is a high priority for us to ensure that we have the ability to move projects around based on if it's, you know, material availability, getting permits, whatever those barriers are for us to be able to execute on projects, to be able to have other projects that are sitting in the queue that we can pull forward to make sure that we are hitting that capital spend number and getting the, you know, the work done. And if we can't get it done this year, those can get moved into next year. But we want to be able to pull other projects up in order to spend those dollars that we said we needed to spend.
And I understand it. Incredibly challenging. Just with the permitting side alone, supply side, timing, especially since we're using our own crews more and more, and they get called on other things. So I appreciate it's challenging.
It's challenging, but we just have to get much better at it. That's the simple truth. We have to get much better at understanding how we can execute on the projects that we have, and then also, again, having projects that are readily available to pull up and it doesn't have to be just capital. You know, it's balancing because we're focused on those, the financial metrics, especially days cash on hand. You know, if we need to spend more on O&M, and versus capital, we can do that. But at the end of the day, it's making sure that we are getting the work done that we said we needed to get done in the timelines that we say we needed to get it done.
And I want to thank you, Commissioner Logan. We will be having, based on what John just said, some supplemental information coming to us, the board. Discussed that, I think, late last year, the need for a better understanding of the scope of things. And I want to thank you for driving that.
Thank you. I have another question. It's on the graphic of cash on hand. Can someone remind me approximately how many dollars does a single day's cash on hand equate to?
About 1.9 million.
1.9? Okay. Thank you. Which is a pretty small number when you consider
compared
the big numbers.
Operation.
Yeah, the big numbers we're dealing with. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And then the last question is on 131. I thought we didn't have any wind left. I thought we all our wind contracts had expired.
I'm feeling I should say that. I forgot to introduce myself, Sarah Bond, Budget Office. We still have White Creek and Hay Canyon through 2027 and Wheatfield until 2028.
Okay.
Then they start to roll off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting ahead of myself. Any other questions, commissioners?
Thank you, Sarah.
All right, next is item 9, our governance planning calendar, 9A. This is on page 133 of the packet. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar? Do you have any, Allison?
I don't.
On the to be scheduled page, training center rentals, how long has it been since we updated our schedule?
We are currently in the works speaking with facilities, and they sent an email yesterday, so we should have a date on there by the next meeting.
Thank you. But since we have updated our rental schedule,
good morning. Jason Tuskowski, Chief Energy Resource Officer. We did an update in the last 2 years.
Okay.
Looking at it again, and
I just didn't recall.
Yeah, I plan to bring that information to the commission, as well as just an update on usage, which we've just had a ton of usage since COVID.
Yeah.
So,
okay, but thank you.
Sounds like there's no other changes. There's no changes to the calendar. Is there any further business to come before the board this morning?
I have.
Okay. Hearing none, it is now 10:21 a.m. and our meeting is adjourned.